All right, let's take your Bible, if you will, tonight. We'll be looking at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 33. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. We live in a world tonight that's in a sad, sad state. They not only is it a sad, sinful, sick condition, but what a sad world that we are living in. And so I want you to look, if you will, please, chapter number 33, the book of Deuteronomy, verse 29. Chapter number 33, verse number 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, and the shield of thine help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over every family in this congregation represented here tonight. We praise you and thank you now that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. And Lord, that you'll have your perfect will and way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach on true happiness is knowing the Lord. You know why the world's in such a sad shape that it's in tonight? I'll tell you why. They've got everything but the Lord. True happiness is in the Lord. I don't care how much money that a person may or may not have. I remember whenever Elvis Presley, he had all the money you could ever want in your life. Still, he's making more money every year dead than most of us all together are put together living. I said all that to say this, what a sad sack that he was. He was no doubt a whoremonger and chased everybody and had a wife and had a kid and this and that and all that. What a sad state that man's life was in. Do you know what's wrong in the day and hour we're living in? It's not more money, it's better management of it. That's where we're at. I was looking at that bank, you know, that went under and people standing in line waiting to get their money. Now the government's fixing to bail that out, and they're going to bail that out. I don't know about the other one. They're not talking much about it. How'd you like to be standing out there in line all the way down the street and waiting to be able to go in and be able to close your account out? I want to say to you that, if you will, that make no mistake about it, is that those are people, they look sad. I am sad. Every time I look at Mike Pence, the former vice president of Donald Trump, I get real sad. He just looks sad. Why anybody in the name of God don't just go up and slap him silly is beyond me. Of course, you know, it's sadder when you look at the president. What a lying, cheating conniver. Mark my word, if Joe Biden don't go to hell, there's not one. Now, some people say, I wouldn't say that. I know you wouldn't, but God knew I would, and that's why he brought it to my mind. What a sad, godless, wicked world that we're living in. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in this Bible lesson we're looking at, this Bible says over the book of Psalm chapter 144 about verse 15, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I want to tell you something. If you know the Lord, you've got something to rejoice and be happy about. Over in the book of Psalm 33 verse number 12, it said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we used to be one nation under God. We're now one nation without God. And in the course of this sermon, you'll begin to see why, no doubt about it, as we look into it. Over the book of Psalm, chapter number 146, there's a passage there, and I didn't write enough note down to find out what it was, but I'm glad I've got this nice, new, good Bible that I might be able to look it up. But let me say to you, we're talking about being happy and because of the Lord. Over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 146, at about verse number 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad to know that I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm glad I know he that's from everlasting to everlasting. I know he that but it, that is able to save your soul from the guttermost to the uttermost and to cause you to miss hell and make heaven. It's good to be saved and to know him in the free pardon of sin. Over in Psalm 65, verse 4, he said, God, chosen of God, allowed to approach him, saved by the grace of God and put in the house of God. If you've been saved tonight, it's because God chose you and God allowed you to approach him and God brought you to a place and granted you repentance and faith. And when he saved you, put you in the house of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, in this passage we've read in our text tonight, did you catch hold of that? Here's the reason why that he said, happy art thou, O Israel. Here's why. Because you're a people saved by the Lord. I got to tell you right now, I'm glad that salvation is for everyone that will receive it and for everlasting to those that do. And whenever you look at it, no wonder they were happy. Now, I'm going to tell you, the happiest you'll ever be in the best day of your life is when you got washed by the blood, born into the family of God, your sins were forgiven. Now, I'm going to tell you, humanity may can remember some of your sins. In fact is, if you'll just talk to some of us, we can probably point out something pretty quick. But aren't you glad that when you come to him as an empty-handed beggar, that he not only pronounces you clean and allows you to approach him, and he washes away your sins as far as the east is from the west and drops them in the sea of forgetfulness and does not remember them against you anymore. Now, why wouldn't you be happy about that? You know, in this lesson that we're looking at is that everybody's got a past. And I'm glad to know that if you don't have a past, you're not saved yet. But if you get saved by the grace of God, you'll think back on the past life that was empty. And that was certainly, that was just as useless as it could be. And what a horrifying experience that is to not know the Lord. Happy is Israel as a nation when she gets saved. Notice another thing about that in verse number that we read tonight. Is that he said something about a shield. First of all, a salvation. If you got saved by the grace of God, there's a shield that God gives you. Now, don't make any mistake about it. The devil's going to be shooting a lot of fiery darts at you. In fact, he's going to bring a lot of things. He's going to shoot at you. And as a result of that, it's going to mess up your mind if you'll let it. It's going to get to where it hurts and stings you if you'll let it. But let me tell you, God gave us a shield that you might be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You know, in the day we live in, is that I've had many times in days gone by, I've had a preacher or two that was upset and felt bad because their congregation, they felt like, didn't really like them. I think I've got some people that are talking about me, preacher, and they're not happy. They don't like me, and I don't know why. I said, are you preaching the Bible? Well, yes. Are you compromising and trying to please men? Well, no. Are you trying to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord? Yes. I said, rest assured, the devil's got somebody stirred up talking about you. Woe be unto you when all men speak well of you. So if you don't want any flack, well, you better not try to butt heads with the devil any, because if you do, and if you live for God, he's not going to like it. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that he's talked about God putting us in the sanctuary. You know, I'm glad God didn't just save me and leave me out on the street somewhere. I'm glad God saved my soul and added to the church daily such as should be saved. Since he put you and I in the house of God, we're able to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And then not only that, but I'm glad that God not only gave us a shield to be able to ward off and a sanctuary to meet together in the house of God, a shield to ward off the fiery darts of the devil, and the sanctuary and the household of faith to be able to love one another and pray one for another. But I'm glad God gave us this Bible. That's the sword of the Lord. And the reason why he did is that we might do whatever we're doing in quote-unquote accordance to his word. Now, don't lose the thought of your text, but look over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. In the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6, I'll give you a second to find that as we're looking there in Ephesians in chapter number 6, about verse number 10. We're talking about these things: salvation, shield, sanctuary, sword, and the sword is no doubt the word of the Lord. In chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, verse 10, finally, my brethren, I hope you're one of them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's people in the White House. That's what he's talking about. You wonder why those people act so devilish? They're full of the devil. That's exactly why. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your girds drawn about with the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He said, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith that ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore thereunto with all perseverance, supplication of all the saints. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm born again into the family of God. Over there in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, we read out of chapter number 33, but over there you're going to find out that after that we've read that good verse that God used to pin down through Moses, is that he's about to take Moses on out of this world. This Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, if you were to read all 12 verses, you'll find out it talks about the death, and it talks about the burial of Moses, and no man knows where his grave was. And no doubt the reason why is because of the fact is that somebody would have tried to make a shrine or something out of him, and God buried him and doesn't let anybody else know where he's at. Let me say to you, you're going to have, and I'm going to have, some enemies. Don't let them rain on your parade. Don't let them make you to where you're not happy in the Lord and the power of his might. I want to tell you, whenever he said in the passage, happy art thou, O Israel, who's like unto thee? Well, there's not anybody else like unto them. I got to tell you, you know what the problem in the day we live in, don't you? And I'm talking about nationally. I'll tell you what it is. It doesn't matter if it narrows down to your home. Now, I'm supposed that everybody here tonight that knows the Lord, except maybe some of these youngsters growing up that need to come to know Christ. And let me say to you that, if you will, if you're a teenager and you're not saved by the grace of God, I'm wondering why. Why you hadn't been paying attention, why you hadn't been listening, why you hadn't been letting God knock on your hearts and start troubling you. I want to say that when you begin to look into these Bible passages, here's what you're looking at, is that we lack sometimes leadership, and certainly in the nation we lack a lot of leadership. But let me say, Moses, the Bible said in this chapter that if you were to read it, that if you read that in chapter 34 of that verse number 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and in all signs and wonders of which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and all of his land. I'm going to tell you something. You'll find that Moses, this Bible said, was a great leader. There was not another found in Israel like unto Moses. Man, what a great, great leader that is. What a great man that is. And I want to say to you that we live in a multicultural society. Now, everybody goes to second up whenever that subject comes up. But let me just tell you right now, I don't care where you came from. I'm glad you're here. I don't care what your color is or your ethnicity. I don't care what your race is. I'm glad you're here. But let me just tell you right now is there's some lines God drew that are in the Bible. And let me tell you, the problem is not God and the lines he's drawn. The problem is the world hates God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that we've got this society, and by the way, is that this multicultural society. Now, I know it's exempt from everybody that's here, but every one of them have got one thing in common. They hate white people. You know the reason why they hate white people? Descendants of Japheth. You know the reason why they hate that? Because everybody comes from Shem or Ham or Japheth or a mixture of those three men. And let me tell you right now, the day and hour that we're living in is that the president in Mexico, and if I was in Mexico, I'd want to get out as quick as I possibly could. And if you were, you probably would too. I mean, there was a black woman went down there with three others. She went down there to get a bunch of fat cut off her belly. And you ended up two of them getting killed. I mean, she was just down there trying to get rid of a little Dunlap, overlap, whatever it was. That's what they said. They didn't put it exactly like that. I said all that to be able to say this, is that you'll find that I'm for people wanting to get up and come and to be in here in this land. I would to God we had. I would to God we had people that love God and the Bible. The best Christians that I know across this country are those that came from Mexico or one of these other countries that know the Lord. But, you know, in the day we're living in, I'm looking at, no pun intended, but I'm looking at and I'm seeing when you drive down North Street or South Street, man, you look at, there's a lot of those stores and restaurants and stuff like that now that look like they're in Mexico. Why would you want to flee a country that's failed and try to make that here in America? Now, I'm not done with it. What about Africans? I want to tell you something. Do you want to know how well, you know why the country's in the mess it's in? We got too many people there trying to make mayors. Look at New York. That black mayor there, he don't know what's going on. He don't have a clue what's going on. There are people in the police department resigning by the hundreds and thousands. They used to have 38,000 in their police force in New York. And now that's all that's been ruined. That's been thrown out and thrown aside. Yeah, listen, do you want to know, and I don't mean it's ugly, but do you want to know how well that a black person can rule a country? Look at Africa. That's all you got to do. And did you notice the more of them that we get, and the more they're pumping them into leadership, and the more they're trying to make us like them? You ever notice the more like Africa we're becoming? Years ago, there's an old man, he lived to be 90, and he said, it's either back to the Bible or back to the jungle. And let me tell you, the natives are getting restless in this country that we're living in. I mean, you can't go any longer. Nobody's going to let you preach like that and say any of that that I've already said so far. And I'm trying to be kind and trying to be light with it. But no Baptist preacher is going to allow that in the day we're living in. It'd blow too much of his congregation out. I want to say to you that if you will, look at China. Right there breathing down our necks. Look at the people we've got in this country that are yakking and yapping about child labor, and yet we're buying all of our stuff from China, and we're dependent upon China that won't allow them to have but one or two kids at most, and then they put them to work in those factories as quickly as they can in those sweatshops. I got to say to you that, if you will, that whenever you begin to look into it, is that our major enemies, we've gotten to where we just winked at Moses didn't do that. And I want you to look in your Bible, and if you don't get some ads, you can't get it in your heart, I'm going to give you three passages. One of them is in Exodus, over there in the book of Exodus in chapter number 12. Now, what I did to prompt this thought is that I said that a multicultural society cannot stand. You know the reason why, don't you? Is because that ain't the way God designed it. And the Bible said it in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, verse number 38. The Bible said, when you look into it, verse 37, the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And notice this, and a mixed multitude. Those are people that believe God. Those are people that were idolatrous without God. Those are people that mixed with the people that did believe God. He said, and a mixed multitude went up also with them in the flocks and herds and even very much cattle. Now I want you to look at the book of Numbers in chapter number 11. Numbers chapter 11. In the book of Numbers, in chapter number 11, verse number 4. I want you to see that passage. The Bible says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? I see that mixed multitude out there that don't know God in the Bible. They've always liked flesh. It said we remember the fish in verse number 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Really? I remember them crying out in bitter bondage. I don't ever remember them talking about, hey, let's go down there to that Egyptian fish house and get us some of that scrumptious larrapin fish to eat. I don't remember seeing that, do you? And said, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics, and the our souls right away, and there's nothing at all besides this manna. Buddy, I want to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, while you turn to the book of Nehemiah. over there in Nehemiah in chapter number 13. Make no mistake about it, dear friend, that mixed multitude has got us all stirred up. You know, I've been preaching against the public school system since I can't, well, longer than I can remember. And, of course, you couldn't say that everywhere you went, because if you did, it was going to make people mad because of the fact that they had too many people or maybe teachers that were there. And let me say to you, when God said, by their fruit you shall know them, you can just look at the fruit of the public school system. They all dress alike. They all think alike. They all act alike. They all go to the same places. They're all involved in the same thing. They're all of them. You understand what I'm telling you? They're like the offscouring of the rest of the world, and you can't tell them the difference because of the fact they look just like and identify with. Now, some of you went to public school. I did myself. It was a different world back then. I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, when God said, by their fruit you shall know them, now everybody is on TV and they're worried about in their town about this wokeism, and they ought to be worried. They should have been worried way before now, see? And look in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 13, verse number 3. Look at this. And on that day they read in the book of Moses, verse 1, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come to the congregation of God forever. Because that they met not the children of Israel with bread and water, but they hired Balaam against them that he should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse to a blessing. Now it came to pass that when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Do you know what it took for Israel to get right? They had to get rid of that multicultural class that came out of Egypt and followed along on their coattail, but was full of idolatry and paganism. I want to close with this thought, just so that you and I know, is that the way to bring the curse of God upon the country is the very way that the president and his cabinet are doing, by putting every sodomite, every queer in office that they possibly can. I'm glad, and I agree with Mr. DeSantis, is that whenever you've got people, you know, that have lied and cheated and connived, like Fauci. What was that DeSantis said about him? Somebody ought to throw that little, what do you call, they call him a something, that little frog, gopher, whatever it was, across the Potomac. And it made me say amen. I said all that just to be able to say this: it's good to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. But in the day and hour that we're living in, you cannot preach that in a lot of places. Number one, the preacher's not going to like it. Number two, even if he did, his wife might not. And therefore, either way, you're blowed out of the saddle. I wonder, while we go to the Lord in prayer, Father, we want to say thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and how good that it's been to be in the house of God. I'm glad, Lord, you saved us. You added us to the house of God, to the household of faith. We want to praise you and thank you for loving us, even while we were unlovable. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, in Jesus' name. Amen.